Greetings, loyalists and heretics. Welcome to Iron and Ceramite, where we once again enter the war without an astropath.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Iron and Ceramite's Hobby Roundup. My name is John, and I'm joined today by Shane.
Hello.
Glenn.
Hello.
And Tom.
Hi.
Hello, guys. Missed you last time. How are you doing?
Great. Great. Great to be back.
Yeah.
Last time it was me, wasn't it? Then it was Dave before that.
Yeah.
Then it was me again, I think.
Well, that's it. We almost had a full house, but Dave's decided to stay at work rather than come and talk to us.
Dick.
Yeah. He might make it next week. It depends how late he is off tonight. Because we don't record these at the same time.
Definitely not.
Mm. But we have got some sort of big goings on the channel at the minute. If you are following us on Instagram, it will still be going by the time this episode goes out. We have a giveaway going on. Now, we say any money that goes into the channel, we will put back, and we thought we'd start big and do a big giveaway rather than the kit bash stuff that we've done. We thought we'd give you away something that's actually going to make an impression in your armies, as you can see by the slides here. So go over to Instagram, find the post, and then enter it. I think all you got to do is make sure you're following us on Instagram, like the post, and then tag some people. We've had over 200 entries already in the first week, so that's not too bad. We've seen a bit of swell from that as well, so it's going well.
Yeah, how did we make the money? You might as well tell them, John, how we actually made the money to be able to do this.
Ah, yeah. Well, we've got, it's our Element Games link, and it might be Glenn might have funded about 80% of this.
I would say about half, I think.
Yeah, obviously our Element Games, yeah, of course, I forgot. So if you use the link in our description and when you're buying your hobby items and go over to Element Games and no extra cost yourself when you get your discounted stuff, we get a little bit of a kickback. And with the kickback we've saved up from various purchases, this is what we've decided to do. Hopefully somebody will win big and paint it up and share the photos with us. And we'll obviously share it on here like we do with the other stuff.
Just out of interest, who would pick what, starting with you, John?
Based on coolness of model, I would go for the Avatar. But based on my Ultramarine army, I'd obviously pick the Thunderhawk. But Avatar.
Yeah, that's not Thunderhawk.
Stormhawk.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, I think I'd take the Kane as well. I've already got the Stormhawk. I'm pretty sure I know what Dave would take. Although, has he got one of them? The bottom right thing?
Yeah, he's got one.
He'd probably take two, though.
Yeah.
I think he'd be happy with the second one. I'd actually take the Tyranid. I really like the Tyranid model.
Oh, really?
I could take the Marine flyer, the Stormhawk, because I don't have one. But I'd, from model coolness, I actually really like that Tyranid model.
Mm.
Yeah, same for me.
No one wants the orcs. You don't want the orcs, Tom, for a base?
Nah. I mean, look, I don't actually like them. Mega armored knobs, are they, or whatever they're called?
Yeah.
You don't really see much of the orcs on that. It's just like the yellow armor, really, isn't it?
Mm.
In all fairness, that is a really good kit.
Mm.
If you've got other orc bits and pieces, you get so much crap in the box to just smash onto other orc stuff. It is a really good kit.
Well, hopefully, that would probably be
the third pick for me.
Hopefully someone will do a good job painting it. Well, they will do a good job painting it up and share it, send us the pictures, and we'll share it on here and obviously promote whatever platform they're working on, as we always do. And then we'll see what we do next time. So should we kick off with our normal hobby roundup then?
Let's kick off.
Right, Shane, we'll start with you then, mate.
Oh, yes, the Primaris Librarian. I can't remember the name I gave this guy. I did when he's on my Instagram. I did give him a name and a little Robert? Backstory.
Was it Robert?
Yes, Robert the Wolfie Librarian. No, I can't remember for sure. But yeah, it's the Primaris Librarian you get in the Imperium magazine. So it's coming around to the one that's in the camo cloak, so he can deploy further afield. And then in an attempt to make him slightly more wolfy, I just made a few minor changes. So added a wolf tail as per to his belt, a rune around his neck instead of the standard pendant that it came with. And then I swapped out the force sword for what I'm calling a frost axe. So, I mean, obviously it'll be as per the data sheet if he's on tabletop, but just a bit more in keeping with Fenrisian custom to take a big frost axe rather than a force sword. I gave him a rune on his knee as well. That means that's a rune that means warrior, I believe. I had to look it up just to be sure, but I thought I'd try and keep it as authentic as possible, and then tried to do a camo effect on the actual cloak itself. Rather than painting the digital squares, I got a sponge out, or a tiny bit of sponge, and taped it to the end of a paintbrush handle and tried to dab it on there with black first of all, and then Fenrisian grey, which is the lightest Fenrisian colour, on top. And it, because it's based on the cloak itself as the fang as the colour I went for, I thought it worked out okay. Not too bad. Some of it looks a bit like he's just got paint on himself rather than camo, but it's not too bad. So overall, quite happy about it. And it didn't take me long as well, which was nice. So yeah, I was relatively pleased with how it came out.
Where did you look up the rune? Because I'm pretty sure I've seen that before, and I think it means up.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It does. It does look like an up arrow. I think it's a. I want to say it's either Danish or Norwegian, but it was definitely.
It's a legitimate rune, then. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I did. I did look up proper Nordic runes. So
way more effort than I've ever put into anything.
Yeah, pre the breakup of the Viking countries, as it were. But that was, that's what it was. I thought, that will do. I'll go with that to form his backstory.
Yeah, I like it, man. I actually think the cloak looks really good. I mean, from this, the picture you've got up there, almost looks like he's got a bit of shimmering power to it, sort of.
All done by luck rather than skill.
That's how we do anything, right, on this channel? Yeah,
absolutely. And then I suppose the other bit that I quite liked, I just dry brushed the frost axe with the same Fenrisian blue, and I quite like how that finished up, actually. The pictures probably don't do it as good justice, but in person it's pretty good how that came out, so I was very happy with that. Quite happy as well that I was able to get the force sword out and the axe in without it looking too janky. It does look pretty close to being part of the miniature. So yeah, I was quite happy with my effort.
Yeah, it's pretty straight, I must admit.
Yeah,
a lot of times when I swap out weapons, especially if you're cutting off of the hand, it's so difficult to get the angle just right of so many wibbly swords and stuff.
Yeah, it was, and the other bit that was a bit of a pain was the transfer on the shoulder pad. So I didn't quite get it right. Because there should be less of the wolf's head visible, but I was late and I was like, that'll do. So it did the job, but you can see like the in the picture on the right hand side, it looks a bit more like paint splatter as opposed to camo effect. But that's just how it hit on the sort of the fold in the cloak. But overall, yeah, for a go at a new technique, I'll take it.
No, that's good. No, it made me feel bad about just leaving mine grey. I look pretty good.
It was an easy effect to do. Like, if I ever get any of the what are they? Are they? They're not interceptors. What are the guys in the Primaris guys in the cloaks? What are they called? They're the sniper ones. I think.
Eliminate.
If I ever do any of them, then I'll give this technique another go rather than maybe the digital bits and pieces. But that's if I ever get any of them. I don't know.
I've looked it up. His name, Shane, is Fenrir Skyweird.
That's it. Fenrir Skyweird.
Is that just something you come up with, or did you use one of the name generators?
Oh, no, I came up that one with myself. Yeah, that was all my own work.
Nice.
So Fenrir, I think that meant it's something to do with, like, he's a Traveller of the Fens. So obviously, you know, fields and bogs and all that sort of stuff. Mm. And then Skyward, I was trying to come up with something that was, it was going to be something to do with clouds or, you know, because the Space Wolves are the Sky Warriors on Fenris. But I couldn't find, because surprisingly enough, Proto-Danish and Norwegian language was not particularly known for its large vocab. So a lot of things were very similar. So that's why it ended up being Skyward.
It's the only model, obviously, you've sent in. What's on your work in progress desk at the moment?
So I can see him right in front of me now. I've got the four fine cast models that I ordered a couple of the last runs. So the Grey Hunter with standard, the space, what's its name? The Rune Priest in Terminator armor, and then Aryak Rockfist and Lucas the Trickster. So they're all on the they're all on the work in progress right now. I only need to finish Aryak this month to hit to keep on my target because I've painted ahead. So by the end of this month, I need 500 points worth painted, and he's all I need to do. So
nice.
I've got plenty of time to get him done. He's also, I was hoping, well, I'm hoping to get a game in with him before the end of the month because he's one of the last models in 9th edition that still has a free up invulnerable save, which is pretty punchy. So yeah. I want to run him out and annoy someone with him.
What's he like on the tabletop? What's his stats looking like other than the nice save?
High strength, right, it's classic wolf stuff. High strength, good save. Yeah. Throws, he's got effectively a thunder hammer and storm shield, but he can throw the thunder hammer.
Yeah.
So it's very, like, I want to play with him in ninth because I can't help but feel once we get to 10th, whenever that's going to be, he's going to get nerfed somewhat. It'll be a four up in invun at best, and probably won't be able to throw his hammer around like four, but we'll see.
How are the casts of the fine caster?
Actually, they were all pretty good. I think the Grey Hunter was the worst one where I had to heat up the standard a little bit to get the pole straight and his axe straight. But otherwise, they weren't too bad. They always take a lot of cleaning up, and even after you've cleaned them up and primed them, that's when you see the bits you missed. And you're like, oh, fuck. Mm-hmm. Back to it with the scalpel, but I could do without ever getting any more fine cast, which is why I'm not buying any more Necron characters or anything like that until they're all replaced. But as I said, I wanted Aryak just because he's got that free up invuln, and that's gonna, I think he's like one of the last characters that still got it. So we'll see how that goes.
It should be secure enough to avoid any like data slates that come out as well.
He's not yet, which is weird. Like, yeah, it's not happened. So I'll take it. But yeah, he's pretty punchy. He's like part of the Kingsguard. So he's not part of what's his name? He's not part of Ragnar's company. He's part of the Logan Grimnar's company. Mm. So quite a nice character to have. Mm.
Glenn, you didn't send anything in. You didn't send an army of painted units to us, no?
No, just done a bit of undercoating or base coating, whatever it is when you spray them grey sear. If you're going to contrast it, is that an undercoat or is that a base coat? I'm never quite sure.
I'd go but base coat.
I base coated to the models then. It sounds better. For me, I never generally paint anything like it is on the box. I don't like to do what's established. But with the new Tyranny Codex coming out next week, I am going to see which Hive Fleet I actually like the look of and use the paint scheme of whatever Hive Fleet that is. So West I went, had the best intentions, got my base coat on, got my various contrasts bought, but then decided, no, I actually want to run them as they are going to be. So they've gone on hold a little bit, and I spent some time rummaging around looking for smaller models, and I did nothing with them instead.
Why would we expect anything else?
Hey, at least I'm consistent.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Right. So, Tom, I've saved you for the end because I couldn't beat it, your model. So I've embarrassed myself by going after you.
I think you've done a great job with this one, man. I was looking at it on your Instagram. I think it looks really, really stands out well, like the rust effect, especially with the green popping in the middle. You've done an amazing job, man, with that one.
Yeah, I surprisingly enjoyed painting it. I thought it was just going to be like another bit of scenery just to spray. I'll give it try a few different bits and pieces. I was quite happy with it as well. I like doing the rust and, I'm quite happy with it. It goes well with the rest of my contaminated scenery as well.
How long did it take you to do?
A couple of days altogether, like a couple of sessions.
Yeah.
I did it in bits and pieces. But not like overly long. I think I took more time on it than I expected because it is quite detailed.
Yeah, well, they're incredibly detailed. That's why I look at it and I go, oh, God.
Yeah.
Do I want to spend that much time on a piece of terrain? But as I said, when you do it, like you, Dave's done it and you know you've done it as well, where you go into that level of detail, it does look really good.
Yeah. I initially, like the bit of pipe that's on its side, on the right hand picture, the bit of sort of bent pipe. That's why I painted that green first. And I was like, I don't know if I'm happy with it. And then, like, the more I did, I was actually, it feels like it works. And then I end up putting it on the skull and on the cog itself. So it's a bit of a gamble, but I think it paid off, actually. It looks wet, slimy wet.
Lovely. Everyone likes that.
Slimy and wet.
Yeah, it does have, like, a really glossy look to it, which I think really works.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, no, it wasn't too bad. Not too bad. It distracted me massively because the I was supposed to be painting my Primaris Captain and he's just completely disassembled at the minute with one blue leg. And then because I was painting him, then this arrived and I was sort of breaking it all down. I was like, you know what, that's a big chunky bit of grey just to have on the shelf. So yeah, I ended up painting it and the Captain's still in pieces and now it's all been put away. So he's going to have to wait until I move.
What did you use for the rust? Is that like a specific rust effect paint or is it mixes?
It is just dry rust.
Oh, cool.
Dry paint, yeah. So straight over it. Yeah, it comes up really nicely as well. Because that's straight over the silver. I sprayed it silver and then dry rust straight on the top.
Is that one of your green stuff ones you got or the one you got from Spain?
No, that's... Games Workshop one. The ones I got from Spain, the vile ones, I can't remember what they're called. They're from Green Stuff, but they're like vomit and slime effects.
The usual death card stuff, yeah.
This was just the standard dry rust from GW.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and there's some bits and pieces in there as well. So, yeah, it's not too bad. I went for Nurgling Green rather than Death Guard Green for the green. Just so it was slightly different.
And then, just a bit darker or lighter, because you can't quite tell from the pictures. A little bit lighter, maybe?
It's a bit lighter, and then I went over it in Nurgle's Rot to make it sort of more swamp-like. Because it's more of a pale green. It's a bit strange. It didn't look quite right. And then I put the Nurgling, whatever I just said, over it, and yeah, it came out pretty well. I was pretty happy with it. So that's that. And then that's just all the scenery I got now because, you know, how much scenery I do have. There's the photo that you wanted last time.
Of course, yeah.
The best game that anyone's ever played. Ever.
Like line of sight blocking dice.
And then that's the armies fully deployed, which was just a misery from start to finish for me.
Couldn't have got like a couple of towers of like tins of beans or something like that. Just to...
you know what?
Technically, yeah.
We could have done. I blame Glenn. I was expecting him just to bring a mat and some terrain without saying, can you please bring a mat and some terrain?
The last couple of times I've gamed, it's been a Tom's or Dave's and, you know, they've got a reasonable amount of scenery. And I think I've brought my scenery before, but this time it was just like, if you'd asked, yeah, I would have bought it.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't think of it.
Much better
for you. Clearly, you went, well, I've got a really shooty army, so fuck your defenses. Let's make this nice and quick. Yeah. So that was upsetting. And then there's my aggressors that I've done a while ago now.
How many points have you got of the Ultra Means now, roughly?
No, not yet. I've not painted. I've got a couple of intercessors, the lieutenant, librarian, and these. So I've not got a lot of Ultramarines done yet. And I haven't got enough Necrons either for even 500 points. So it's all built up. It's all building up around me. I'm swimming in grey plastic. So I can't take another delivery.
And then, but you will, right?
Yeah, of course I will. I can't take it, but I will take it. and then it will sit there. But, yeah, hopefully, once it gets settled, I'll get back into some sort of routine and get back on with it. And then the last thing, inspired by Shane, I went back and camoed up my librarian as well and just flick painted him from a distance.
Is that what you did, actually, what you did?
No.
I can say, how did you stop it from going on the legs and that? But yeah.
I didn't have to repaint him afterwards. I just had like a cheap old plastic bristled brush that I just dabbed on it.
So
it was okay. I was quite happy with it for not too bad. And that's that. So that's all I've done. And like I say, I'm just working on the captain and a couple of intercessors as and when I can get back to painting. And then, Tom, you have presented us this.
Sanguineous, yeah. Wanted to paint him for ages, obviously. I don't like the Forge World model, and I'm not going to lie. It's because I'm a cheapskate and it's too expensive for me. But also, I genuinely do think the sculpt of this one looks a lot better. I wish I knew who it was that did it. I did actually know that a while back, but I've forgotten the guy's name. I'll have to look that up again. But it's really cool. Cost me £27 off eBay. Probably, I think it was from China, to be honest. I don't know. But it arrived. It was good quality. And obviously, I've added some bits to the base and some sort of creepy hand coming up from behind, grabbing his leg. It was a delight to paint. I mean, it was horrible to stick together. It was horrible to paint in regards of, because it's resin. Yeah. I'm almost snapping it on every single brush stroke because of all the little pointy bits and everything, especially the wings. All in all, I had fun, and it's going to be my competition piece next week. So, yeah, hopefully it will do okay.
Nice. What competition are you entering?
Don't know. It's just the one I'm doing, and it's already going on that one. But I've got to do a face-off against my counterpart.
The wolf,
the wolf, just to show the in the spirit of things. So he'll probably kick my ass because I think he's going to use that one that got to the final in our competition. You remember that big tyrannid thing? He's using that again, so I'm probably in deep water with that. But I tried.
What colour did you use for his armour? Is that retributive gold, or is it more yellow than that?
So. It's a Vallejo Air. I airbrushed all of his armour at the beginning, gold, with Vallejo Air gold. And it went on, it was very, very light, a very, very light gold. It's an excellent base. I'm not going to lie, it went on very well as an airbrush sort of spray. I wasn't expecting a gold to go down that well. And it did go down as a really nice base to build on. And then all the extra bits, like the detail now, I put Retributor armour on.
Yeah.
So it does stand out and catch the eye a bit more. And then I washed it quite heavily in, what was it? Seraphim Sepia, I think, at first. Okay. And then darkened it up with some Agrax as well in the deeper recesses to make it, look a little bit weathered and beaten, I suppose, like I do with most of my models, really. I was quite happy with the way it turned out. It was tricky to paint, I'm not going to lie. The wings were a bloody nightmare. Mm. Just to paint that amount of white and then wash it and not try to wash it too much and then highlight it a little bit with white. So in the end, I sort of just left them alone and just squirted blood all over them. I thought, yeah, that'll cover them. That's fine. And that was it. But yeah, decent little model to go with my... it's annoying that I can't use him in a battle. I mean, I suppose I could in a 30k game replace him with the other one, but I don't think we're going to ever play 30k, are we? So it'll just sit there.
Oh, that's cool, mate. I'm glad that you did, because you've had him sat there for quite a long time, haven't you?
Mum. Yeah, yeah. Must be nearly a year, or maybe even a year. Yeah,
definitely a long time. Oh, it's really good. His eyes, is that crying blood? Is that an artistic choice, or is that a law thing?
No, in the picture that I've got in my room of Sanguinius, that he's crying blood through. He's not crying. He's sort of like, I'm assuming when he got to Terra, and obviously everything that's going on with Horus and all the different demons and all the psychic powers that must have been swilling around in the air. And he's, of course, a psychic himself. So there's a possibility that, you know, with that interference, maybe he's just under such pressure that his blood is squirting out of his eyes. I mean, any excuse, really. But yeah, like I say, the picture that I've got, his blood's coming out of his eyes, so I thought, I'll do it.
Oh, that's cool. And then there's some close-ups there.
Yeah, just a few little close-ups. I really need to learn how to do the gems and stuff properly, because I've got no trouble painting them red, as you can see. Mm. But to make them actually stand out, they look very plain, like the blood drops and stuff like that. I really want to learn how to do them a little bit better. But other than that, yeah, I'm happy. But that is all I've done this week, or this month. Been slacking.
If you're only going to do one model, it's a pretty good model though, right?
Yeah. I am very happy with him. In person, he looks quite good. He was very difficult to picture. It took me ages to picture him because of the golden armor is quite difficult to get in the right light to make it look without certain parts shining, or because I used quite a lot of gloss paint as well for the gems and the blood and the eyes and stuff like that. But it's not a bad job. And I'm happy to now actually say that I've got a Sanguinius in my army just for aesthetics. But yeah.
And what's next? What's sat on your desk ready to go?
Same as most of you guys. Like, I've got tons of stuff that I could say I'm going to do. I still want to get a bust. Maybe a bust of. I was thinking of getting a bust of maybe a Space Wolf, because there are some like 3D printed Space Wolf busts out there. They've got their face out. It's not like they haven't got any helmets on or anything like that. So I can paint some skin tone, but also at the same time have a go at doing some proper airbrush work on a little bit of a larger scale to try and get that sort of highlighted effect on the busts like people do. So maybe that next.
Nice. Anyone in particular, or just any? Have you seen anything that you're after?
Yeah, I've seen a couple on eBay that are, I can't remember exactly what, Space Warriors or something, what they call them. Like clearly Space Wolves. That was what they were based on. But they look really good. And I think they're quite large as well. So, yeah, it'd be nice to paint.
Hard to beat a big bust.
Can't beat a bit of big bust. Then. No, you're right there. And also, I'm going to let Shane name him as well.
Oh, nice. Okay, well, thank you.
But yeah, other than that, that's it, mate, for me so far.
Cool. Nice. So we've had... Did anybody watch Adepticon or pick anything out particularly they liked? Because I was going to watch it live, but it was a day earlier than I expected. So, because it's in America, I didn't take that into consideration. So I missed it.
No.
Yeah.
But it's obviously a couple of weeks ago by now. So I've done the normal thing. I've taken some pictures of a few things that I've gone back through the slides and picked out. So if you don't want them, talk about it, we'll just skip it. But if anything that I think I've not missed anything takes your fancy, then do stop and we'll talk about it. So this was the, what's it called? Necromunda.
Yep.
New stuff for that.
Is it Ash Wastes?
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah.
And they had some, like, I think they was excited saying that vehicles were coming to it, because it's obviously all been in the city before. So you've got
all been in the hive. I always like the terrain kits they do with the box sets of Necromunda. They've always been pretty good.
Yeah, it's cool. I like the weird bug things that they're riding around on. They're like living 8080s, or little ones like those.
Yeah, I must say,
to see it.
Some of the Necromunda stuff they're bringing out now is just batshit crazy. It used to just be like
gangers.
different gangers with a variety of guns. Now they've got all kinds of weird shit. And I don't know how I feel about it, but...
intimidated is and what I mean by that for me is that whereas before I've always been on the edge, like I've got my old box set, I've got the old gang sitting in there, like the old lead ones from back in the day, and I'm like, oh, maybe I'll get them out, maybe I'll paint them up, and maybe I'll, you know, I'll chance my arm and give it a go, see if anyone will give me a game. Now it's feeling like there's so much more to it. I'm like, no, they're just going to stay in there until I've got nothing else to do. Yeah. I don't have enough headspace to get into another system that's this deep.
Yeah, because with it's like whenever they release the Necromunda equivalent of a codex,
yeah,
it brings in a whole lot more shit.
Yeah.
Like that's gameplay stuff, rule stuff. And now they're doing this and that's bringing in vehicles and people riding around on giant gribbly things. And it's just an awful lot in there now.
Yeah. It looks amazing, you know, but.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just too much stuff going on.
Yeah.
I think if they wanted to do vehicles and ash wastes and stuff like that, they should have just done a new Gorkamorka.
Gorkamorka, yeah. That
bring Gorkamorka back.
Yeah.
And keep them separate. But
what else was there? So then the Underworlds, this was the only really picture I could find. Tom, are you looking at Underworlds? Was that you?
Yeah. So I've got a few things to talk about in the pod later on.
Yeah.
Nothing major. I was having a bit of a look at Underworlds. It seems like a really decent game, to be honest. It's quite a small game. I think it's about around about 40, 45 minutes once you know the rules to play to get through a game. And it seems like a really interesting game to play, actually. It's a lot more in-depth. I don't think it's as in-depth as Necromunda. People say Necromunda's really in-depth now, so it's not like that. But there are it's a board game, but also a card game as well, really. You have to have a deck of cards to go with it. I'm quite interested in getting started and having a few games of that. I know Glenn is as well, maybe, with these war bands that he's bought, stroke found, stroke whatever he's done. Yeah.
I didn't actually see the announcement for that, so I don't know what they announced.
No, I have no idea what it was. I'm sure one of the others have seen it.
I would assume because it's a
sorcerer.
Adepticon is quite big, so it might be the next season, basically. Because I think they're on Harrow Deep.
Yeah, it is Harrow Deep at the moment.
Yeah, so it might have been the announcement of the new season, or it might just have been, you know, a couple of new war bands. I completely didn't see that.
Fair enough. Cool. So then. The Chaos Knights are getting some new models and a new codex.
They're amazing looking.
Horrific to paint. Anything Chaos, horrific to paint by the looks of it.
Look at all that trim.
They don't look as trim heavy as the Chaos Space Marines, though. It's still up there, but not as small detail.
Yeah, but you look at them and then you just turn them around a little bit and it's like, oh, there's a spike there and there's a tentacle there and a bit of tube in there and amazing looking model. So
now they got birds roosting on them as well. Jesus Christ.
That's a strange choice for 40K.
They are like very cool. I do like the fact the Knights, well, I said it's going to be interesting to see what the Knights Codex all looks like for both sides, but it is now nice models for Chaos Knights players.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. They are cool. And I think, and then just Knights in general, they're both getting codexes, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Another army for Dave to buy and collect and thrash us with. Blood Bowl pigs with barrels, Glenn, for you.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, let's go along with the Norse team they announced. That's a team that is very, very popular with the Blood Bowl community, but they didn't have a plastic team and hadn't done forever.
You used to have to kit bash them.
There was a very, very old metal team.
I remember having it because but you had to order it from the old magazine. Like, you actually had to call them up and get it ordered.
I had the actual box that I think I was able to buy the shop. But the problem was that was several editions ago. Yeah. But when they redone the roster, they brought in like a couple of different members in the team, so there wasn't models for them. So Games Workshop sort of just didn't support them for a while. But now they're properly back in Blood Bowl, and yeah, the Pigs with Barrels were just sort of like additional little things. I think people will probably use them as like turn counters and touchdown counters. So yeah,
they're cool little models though. Yeah,
yeah, they're kind of up there with the Underworld's crab.
Crab.
that's this year's crab.
And then Horus Heresy getting a new edition.
Love that one on the right. That's awesome looking.
I'm really interested in this because Horus Heresy game was done by Forge World. Yep. And it was run on, I want to say, 7th edition rules.
It was indeed, yeah. It was before they simplified it down to 8. So yeah. Like vehicles had different profiles depending on which side you were hitting them and all that jazz.
So the game itself, I want to see how it's going to work. Is it going to be like 9th? Is it going to be a precursor to what 10th will be? Is it going to be a bastardization of all of the rest? Plus, because these are plastic bottles, I want to see what other stuff we're going to get in plastic, not having to buy stuff in Forge World. Because I love the Mark 3, the Iron Armor plastic kit. I want to do like a demi company of that. And now that we're getting, you know, actual Heresy era characters, like that's, I think it's a Praetor on the right. Yeah. So yeah, you could run that in 40K really easily as a captain or a lieutenant or whatever you want to run them as. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody would have too much of an issue with it, but just more new cool models. Yeah, I know they're Space Marines, but this is Firstborn Space Marine stuff.
A plastic beaky kit is quite interesting. I had a mad conspiracy moment earlier the other day, and I was like, do I put this in the group? But here's where I'm thinking is, let's say they change the game system to be the same as 9th, they bring it on board. I don't know whether they've been this clever, but could we see it where they go, actually, it's the same game system, so all of those that have got all of their Firstborn Marine armies, you can use those as Heresy armies. 40k is now Primaris only.
I did start to consider that one as well. It's like, Firstborn's for Heresy, Primaris is for 40k.
Might be a couple of generations away, but I was like, I wonder if that's the way they're going.
If they give us like nice new plastic kits for all of like the Heresy era stuff.
Yeah.
But completely stop with new Firstborn stuff. Yeah, I could see it going that way. Yeah. And then at least you'll still have a way to play. Because I think an awful lot of the armies from 40k are still featured in the Heresy game. They're just sort of slightly different variants of it.
Like
the Admac are there, the Guards there, Chaos is sort of there, but they're still kind of good guys-ish. I don't know what the Xenos races are like. But I stopped looking at the Heresy books after maybe book 3, when they'd done about 4 or 5 different legions. So I don't know what the other supporting enemies were introduced in the following books after that.
Right, you still got Eldari. We come across those in our travels so far to book 10.
There's a lot of stuff that's featured in the books, like because the orcs have been kicking around forever, and the Eldari and all that there are there, but the Eldari fall only happened at the time of the Heresy,
yeah,
the, or the, around like the actual fall of the Elder was around about the same time as the Heresy happened. So,
the Heresy gaming systems in what you can play is very Imperium orientated.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting to see what they do. But yeah, I that was my tinfoil hat. I was like, I wonder if that's the way it's going to go with our firstborn and our older Marines.
And then I don't know who's going to be interested in this.
Yep, that is a Chaos Space Marines profile, and that is a very, very important profile.
Things, I mean,
that's for the toughness,
yes, the toughness and the strength. Yeah, okay. The fact that it's remaining the same is the key thing there.
Yeah.
No, it's the two goddamn wounds and yeah, two attacks basic as well, which is nice to see.
And then who enjoyed April Fools?
April Fools that isn't an April Fools.
Yeah, hello. What a revelation.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a new faction. That's pretty big. But I say a new faction, an old faction that are coming back.
As well.
Yeah, they're actually quite small. And so, Tom, you're going to be getting this, right?
Yeah, I really like the look of them. I've always liked the dwarves, like in Warhammer Old World. And this is obviously the closest thing in 40K. And I've heard about them before. And I thought it'd be a really good idea to have that different faction who's sort of basically space dwarves in a way. I like the models. They look pretty cool to me. And I think it'd be an interesting army to get something that's just coming back after all these years. It'll be nice and refreshing to have like a completely new army out there. And I think I'd definitely be interested in them along with Chaos Marines as well. I think they'll be the next two that I'd probably go for.
No, I don't want to like piss all over your dreams, but is this going to be a single model that's in Blackstone Fortress? Is it going to be a kill team in the next kill team box? Therefore, that's all you're going to get, or is it going to be an actual bring back of squads?
A lot of people saying, I don't know if this is 100% sure or not, that they are going to be a legitimate faction coming up. I've seen a lot of people say that, so I'm fingers crossed. I hope so, but we'll just have to wait and see, I suppose. I guess they can always say, oh, we're bringing out this, that, and the other, and then they just see how people react to it. And if everyone's going crazy about it, then they'll just do it because it's money, isn't it? So,
and this is the thing, it's like, what? Are they going to be a full-on army? And it's like, are they going to be attached to somebody else? Like, are they going to be like a
sub-faction? There's all sorts of rumours. There were some rumours saying that they were going to be like a like an ally or sub-faction of like the Tau or something like that.
And a lot of people like that.
Hope that isn't the case. I think if they're going to do it, they need to be very quick at saying, yeah, it's just going to be a kill team, or just go all in. And say, yeah, no, it's a full faction.
And then that's a big gamble, isn't it? To say, here's a complete army, here's some kits for it, and I hope that people run out and do buy it. Because
no, you see, you're a new person, John. Yeah. So Shane will understand this. It's not a big ask because squats, even you will understand this. Squats are one of those things that almost every hobbyists, like whenever Games Workshop takes something away, they bemoan the fact that, oh, we don't have our toys anymore. So the fact that they're back, a lot of people will probably jump on the bandwagon. Although I made the mistake of looking in a comment section. Oh, Jesus. It was so many people bitching about the fact that they were bringing them back because it would imbalance the game, and oh, they're just trying to make more money off it. No, they're giving you more choice and more nice, awesome looking models, and you're whinging about something coming back that you've whinged for about 25 fucking years that they've taken away. So, yeah.
Where's my land train? I don't want it back now.
Yeah. I mean, some of the stuff from back in the day that the squads had was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
They were they weren't just space dwarves. They were biker space dwarves.
they were trikes, didn't they?
They had trikes and all that kind of crap. But then again, that's also back in the day when the jeans dealer cult had limos.
it was much more of a rogue trader and then beyond.
Different time. But yeah.
So do you
think, it's interesting,
Tom, if it came out as like a full-on independent army, would you go for it?
Yeah, I'd go for them before the Chaos Marines for the simple fact that because I know what it's like to paint an army now. They look easier to paint than the other ones. I think they're both equally cool, but I could never sit there and paint a whole army of Chaos ever, and be done with them. Mm. But these guys, they look like you could make them look pretty decent with not too much effort. And I like their style as well. So yeah, probably them.
Would you paint them in like an old retro colour or something of your own?
I'd definitely do something of my own. I wouldn't make them like that. I wouldn't paint them white, that's for sure. And they do look very Tauish, like the armour they're wearing now. I'm not sure. I'd have to have a think about that. Maybe have a look at some old dwarfs from back in the Warhammer Old World and try and come up with a scheme from what the dwarfs would wear in that. I don't know.
Fair enough. Cool. Right. So that's the last slide. Is there any other release or business that anyone wants to bring to the table before we wrap it up? Anything forgotten?
Nothing off, really.
No. Cool. Oh, Shane, I wanted to ask. So, have you watched the last episode of The Exodite yet?
I have actually. Yeah, I have watched it now. Yeah.
So, where'd you land with it as 3-episode series? What did you think?
I was a bit underwhelmed that it was only 3 episodes. Yeah. I think that was a bit underwhelming. I was also, I don't want to moan about it too much. I thought the animation was really good. The story was good. It's just it was only 3 episodes, and we had to wait quite an amount of time between each one. So by the time I watched this one, I was like, "Hang on, what's happening here again? And why do I care about these people?" I thought the end of the episode as well was a little bit like I liked bits of it, like the whole idea with the Harlequin and the Death Jester and stuff like that. But it felt a bit disconnected from the 2 episodes before and how it had gone. It feels like it's the start of something bigger, but they've just kind of dumped it on us with no view of when that bigger piece is going to come. I did like the Wraith constructs that came through the webway to slice down the Titan
when that, the Phantoms.
Yeah. When that ran over and just took his legs out. I thought that was pretty special. But like as I said, it was, as far as spectacle goes, it was good. But it just left me feeling like, you know, it's a shame that they couldn't have done more with it.
Yeah. I was saying that on the review that me and Glenn did that is out now on the channel. I was saying it's frustrating because I know that it's 3 episodes and they released it miles apart from each other with an episode of bloody Hammer and Bolter in between. I know they're trying to, I don't know, drag it out a bit and keep you in suspense and keep you wanting more. Fuck off. Like, just give it to us. Like, give it to us 3 weeks in a row, then have a 2-week break and don't give us anything. I'd rather that.
Yeah.
I'd watch it. And then the Hammer and Bolter, like, to break up between the next one that comes out. Because I was under the impression, like, it was up with Angel of Death. We've got 5 episodes, then we've got 3 Hammer and Bolter, then we've got the last 5 episodes. So I thought, oh, maybe it's just going to be a 4-parter then if this Hammer and Bolter has come out halfway through.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it?
But just give us a Hammer and Bolter and the Exodite. It's fine. I'll watch them both. It's like,
I just feel like their release system, I know that, obviously, Glenn, you was talking to your friend who's up there. I just feel like their release system is very ham-fisted. And they open themselves up to the online troll complainers who just bitch about it for anything. But like, there's people that probably
like to hear from Mr. Strong there. Raise his hand.
But they open themselves up to it, don't they?
Yeah.
And I just think, if you just, even if you went fine, don't even tell us it's a 3-part. Release it 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Okay, that was good. Right, what's next?
I think they would actually serve them better if they broke down the releases into a more, because like you say, it's a bit slapdash at the minute. So it's a monthly subscription thing. So why don't they just go, right, first week of the month, here's your animations. Second week of the month, here's your battle reports. Third week of the month, here's your lore master. Fourth week of the month, whatever other random shit they do. And so, you know, all your animations that you're going to get this month is boom, because we go from Wednesday to Wednesday and sort of go, ah, shit, there's nothing for us to talk about this week. There's nothing for us to watch or review or whatever it is. So it is a little bit frustrating. But yeah, it would be, I would like to see it a bit more structured.
Yeah.
But like we said on the podcast, it was like, I wasn't a huge fan of the first two episodes.
Yeah.
I think I made that pretty clear on the other reviews, but I really enjoyed the third episode.
Mm-hmm.
And like Shane said, it did feel like it was building into something.
Yeah.
So hopefully we get series two, or, you know, it's not the Exodite, it's the Death Jester, or it's, you know, whatever that guy's gone on to become. Or maybe we see that. I don't really want to see the tie in Cormorath, because I didn't give a shit about the tie.
No, I
know the story was the Exodite, so you should be caring about the Eldar, but yeah, the tie were just, I don't know if it's just the fact that they were quite faceless and quite meh. Yeah, I didn't really care. It was interesting to watch them die, but I wanted to see more of the Eldar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, like I say, it was good to that point. Just be a bit more coherent with your releases, and we'll be a little bit happier.
Yeah.
But I suppose there's other things to moan about. So that's the end of our hobby roundup. If you go over to our Instagram, don't forget we've got a competition running over there, or a giveaway rather, going on over there, which is open till the end of April. Click on the link in our bio for our link tree, which will open up all of these options that you can see in front of you. So if you're listening, Facebook, Twitter, if you're here on YouTube, yes, thank you. All the different places you can get the podcast are Twitch, which is full of cobwebs. Patreon is full of cobwebs. Element Games, use that, because that helped us fund the competition, and combat cards as well. All the links to all the different things that we're doing can be found there. And I'll say that's Exterminatus for this week.
As always, we would like to thank you for listening to our Iron and Ceramite podcast. If you liked us, then you can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and any other good podcast services. Just remember, in the grim darkness of the far future, there is only war.